Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, we got to do this Florida man who was arrested because we had the fire guy yesterday. The Florida man arrested for a fake bomb threat at a Boston hotel. He's taking his craziness up to Boston, shipping up to Boston. So this guy, pull this up. Boston Police Department, they were dispatched to the Liberty Hotel following a tip from a witness who overheard this guy saying he was going to bomb the place. They identified him as 62-year-old Mark DiPaolo of Naples. And he told them they needed a bomb in his suitcase. And then they looked into it. He didn't. Clearly. They arrested him. They detained him. And he had no explosives, no dangerous items, nothing. They are still, though, trying to figure out why in the world he was, like, telling people who was going to do this. And they didn't say that they were checking for mental health or anything. But I'm just going to assume they probably were. Just going to say. Let's see here. This is hysterical. Disney is literally paying Florida now. Disney is building a fifth park under the new agreement with that DeSantis appointed Florida board, and they're investing $17 billion in the state. I love it. Oh my gosh. Remember when everyone's like, that's a bad move, DeSantis? No, it wasn't. This is so great. So yeah, it's a new agreement. They're investing $17 billion because not only are they not leaving Florida, they're paying to stay there. So look at that. They said the fifth park is going to be in addition to the Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom. But that's all anybody knows. And it's going to be a $17 billion investment. And how interesting is that? Look at that. Aw. Remember how everyone was like, oh, Disney's so attacked and put upon. No, they're not. Look at that. Look at that. They're paying. They're literally paying to stay there.
Wasn't there a governor that said, hey, come to my state?
Nikki Haley was like, you can come to my state. I don't think so. Let's see. This. I really don't want to talk about this woman. She's nasty. I have two nasty stories, and I don't. Okay. Gosh, some of you people that send me these stories. So this story has to do with this woman. This was in, what's going on in Naples? A Florida couple was having a romantic time in an inappropriate fashion on a Naples pier. And when the police showed up, the woman apparently left the man and jumped into the water and tried to swim away. For real. This is NBC2. No, of course not. They got her. I mean, you know, seriously. And they were reported to the police by children ages 7 to 15. So you can imagine what they were doing. Hillsdale is an actual educational institution. And I'm going to tell you something. There has been this huge effort by the left to overhaul how presidents are elected, to literally remove the Electoral College. They want mob rule, which is, you know, straight democracy are a pack of wolves and one sheep voting on what to have for dinner. That's exactly what it is. And progressives have been fighting to remove the Electoral College. 18 states have signed on to overhaul how presidents are elected. Hillsdale desperately needs your input. This is no cost to you. They're not stealing your info. They need your opinion. They're taking a survey on presidential selection. It's helping them understand the views of mainstream Americans on this critical issue. And help Hillsdale in its future work defending liberty by taking the survey on presidential selection today at dana4hillsdale.com. Now, Hillsdale is a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan, and they are dedicated to education, the type needed to preserve civil and religious liberties. So take this survey. It's a national survey on presidential selection at dana4hillsdale.com. They need your input. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
Do you plan to request a prison sentence for Donald Trump's multiple violations of the gag order that was in place should factor in that request at all?
The judge scheduled a sentencing for July 11th. We will speak in court in that time. He also set a motion schedule. We will speak in our court filings as we've done throughout this proceeding.
So it's Alvin Bragg being asked earlier today whether or not he's going to seek jail time for Trump in this case. Welcome back. Dana Loesch with you, bottom of this first hour. And it has been a very busy day already, but big news day. And we've been recapping all of this stuff. And I want to remind you as well that as I've said, this is, it is, I do believe, a watershed moment in American politics. But I want you to take heart. This is a, I think it was, regardless of what you think on Trump, I don't care whether or not you love or hate him. I think people who make an idol of their own opinion on this issue are missing the forest for the trees, because this is about the diminishment of the legal system. And there is no way that you can sit here and elevate an expired felony, try to tie it to a mystery felony, an expired misdemeanor, try to tie it to a mystery felony so you can take this out of state court and prosecute it as a federal offense. It's stupid. It's never before, ever in the history of the judicial system been tried. And I just gave you last segment why John Edwards was a horrible analogy. People who try to compare it to the John Edwards case do not know or understand the John Edwards case. And you can go back if you want to recap that. So what is next? There's two ways to look at it. I wrote a piece last night where I was, you know, I was still processing everything. And I said Democrats are playing a very dangerous game in two ways. The first thing is that I think they did maybe one of the worst things they could possibly do going into November. Democrats need the election to be made all about Trump, because that actually does help the left. But instead of making this about Trump v. Biden, they've made it about Trump versus the system. And when you make the debate about Trump versus the system, any random everyday average American can substitute themselves in his spot. Every single person has a distrust of the government. I mean, that's really part of our DNA as Americans. It's one of the things that upon which this country was founded, a distrust of the government. And we also, because of a lot of evidence of the past several decades, have a genuine and well-founded distrust of a lot of these bureaucratic agencies. And as of such, every single person has a grievance. The worst thing that Democrats can do is distill this down so that people can see themselves in the person that's fighting against the system. Because then they look at it not so much as the candidate versus the system. They're looking at it as they versus the system. And that makes it a lot easier for independents to go out and start casting their vote for Trump over Biden. And a case in point about independents. Independents aren't independents because they're moderate Democrats or they're moderate Republicans. They usually hate both sides. But they hate the government more. So keep that in mind when you're looking at a lot of these surveys and when you're looking about how to reach these voters. There's a reason why they're independent. They're not moderates. In fact, it's anything but. But they did the worst thing that they could do to reframe this. Like I said, regardless where you stand, this verdict is ridiculous because the case is ridiculous. Again, you're taking an expired misdemeanor and you're trying to tie it to a mystery felony that you don't actually substantiate. And then you tell the jury to disregard the felony and only look at the expired misdemeanor. This is completely new, untested theory. Completely new. I was reading this piece from New York Magazine, and it was a CNN legal analysis via Britt Hume, who said that, in fact, no state prosecutor in New York or Wyoming or anywhere has ever charged federal election laws as a direct or predicate state crime against anyone for anything, none ever. And he adds, even putting aside the specifics of election law, the Manhattan DA itself almost never brings any case in which falsification of business records is the only charge. And that's it. So it is untested. It's never been done before. And now everyone's asking what's next. So this brings me to where I was torn yesterday, but I'm not now. I want to see every single Republican attorney general across the country drag, and I mean drag, every Democrat official into such lawfare that they have to mortgage their homes, their bodies, their birth certificates just to finance the defense. That's what I want to see. I want full prison cells. I want a new Thermidorian reaction. Go back and read that, because the French Revolution was a failure. But before the revolution, the little period between the revolution and Napoleon, there was a Thermidorian reaction where you had some people who realized that Robespierre was crazy. And they're like, we got to seize from these Jacobins. We got to seize the reins of power from these people and bring back more decentralization and more common sense and, you know, more, a little more manners and decency. And so they did that. And that's what ended up happening. They deposed of them. It was short lived because there weren't any fantastical personalities involved and there weren't any flashy leaders. And people were like, wait, decentralization, what? We want welfare. So it was a little short lived, but it does refer to seizing power from pretend revolutionaries who are really communists who want to take control of government, but then they're overthrown. We need that. Now, I also realize, and this is where I was torn yesterday, and I want to explain this. I realize that the only thing, now hear me out. Don't think I'm going one way because I'm not. I realize that the only thing preventing this republic from sliding into the practice of full-scale third world politics is respect for our founding republican principles. I get that. Because our adherence, our conservatives, to rule of law this entire time is really been the only thing that has kept it intact. But here's the thing, though. This is the rub. Democrats benefit from that in both treatment and optics because they use our efforts at preservation as this veneer for their abridgment of the rule of law. And our government still somewhat functions because at least one ideology is, you know, upholding our commitment to this grand experiment. You know, I agree, we need to elect new officials. We need to wait for the appeals process. But then again, why should we be cautious with our reaction to a kangaroo court? Because demonstrating caution, and I made this point last night on social media, demonstrating caution confers a respect on the court's actions that it doesn't merit. I refuse to recognize the authority of a prosecutor who Rube Goldberg, a bass-ackwards justification for a felony indictment on a non-existent crime. So we may have crossed the Rubicon. Now, I say may. And I think this is important. This isn't going to be determined, I think, until November. I say we may have crossed the Rubicon. A lot of people say they're done and they're finished and blah, 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 and all this other stuff, but then they don't go out and vote. Voter turnout is more of a threat to the Republican Party than the Democrats are. Voter turnout is more of a threat to Trump in November than Democrats are. I am happy to spend an entire week's worth of broadcasts going state by state for a 10-year period, because I've been doing this research for quite some time, and showing you the difference in turnout and how it killed Republican chances in different districts. You just give me the word, and I'll go, and we'll deep dive into that. I've done election coverage going on 20 years now. When Republicans lose, it's because they don't turn out. This is how we lost the Senate. The Georgia special election, I was there on the ground in Georgia. The turnout was abysmal. It was lower than what it was in 2016, even in the most conservative district. In Texas, do you know that in my district, Beto O'Rourke beat Ted Cruz by over 2,000 votes? And do you know that there were several thousand registered Republicans that stayed home? He didn't win because more people voted for him overall. He won because Republicans stayed home. Sure, more people, if you want to just be completely into semantics, more people voted for him, Dana. But there wasn't more people to vote for him in the district, if you get my drift. This is what I'm talking about. So I say may. We may have crossed the Rubicon. But we're at that point. We're there. That's going to be determined, again, by what happens in November. It's hard for me to think, you know, a lot of people immediately want to say, oh, are we at a civil war period, all this other stuff. We're not at a civil war period if we can't even get people out to vote. Let's do things in an orderly fashion, okay? Now, the reason I say this is because certain fights must be engaged full bore with no looking back. And I think that people need to be careful of such commitments because caution is a sign of wisdom. And people who've never felt the fire of any kind of battle are always the people who are most eager to make the commitment to get into it. So think on this. But which way is right? I have friends, I was in a couple of conversations this morning and last night in group discussions that were cautioning me about the AG route. Dana, you know, rule of law here. Well, wait a minute. I am talking about rule of law. What are you talking about? I'm talking about not overlooking things like just giving out fines. Case in point, Hillary Clinton actually did what Trump was accused of in New York. Now, where does she live, Kane? What state?
New York.
New York. Did Alvin Bragg go after her? Kane, did he go after her?
No, he sure didn't.
He sure didn't. He sure didn't, did he?
They had a lot of, they had a lot more evidence.
Yeah, they did have a lot more evidence. And I'm not even talking about the erasing of the servers. No, no, no. I'm specifically talking about her campaign finance violation.
Yeah.
Let's go back to 2016. She contracted her law firm, Perkins Coie. And through Perkins Coie, what did they do? They hired the third party Fusion GPS. You remember Fusion GPS? Fusion GPS was the entity that hired the disgraced spy, Chris Steele, sent him to Russia, had him work with the Kremlin. They came back with all this stupid oppo that they, it's like they got it from 4chan. It was almost like a 4chan trick. That's why the FBI refused to verify any of the information that he had. And through Fusion GPS, they laundered the gossip in the press. And then they took the press articles to a FISA court, didn't tell him that it was paid for campaign research. And then they got a surveillance warrant and went to spy on people that worked in the Trump campaign just based on that reporting. Oh, and don't take my word for it. Take the numerous IG reports that verify all of this.
It's the wrap-up smear we played yesterday.
Exactly. They merchandised it, like Nancy Pelosi instructed yesterday. They merchandised it through the press. Now, she was fined six figures. She violated campaign finance law. She was found guilty of doing this. And I will add the funds that she had misappropriated to use for this were far greater. It was far greater amount than the amount that Trump used before he was even campaigning, when he was not campaigning, out of his own bank account as a part of an NDA. Very different. But Hillary Clinton, Kane, They never said, wow, here is, and that was actually, hers wasn't really a misdemeanor. But see, typically for campaign finance violations, because it can be such tenuous law, they just, a fine is the only thing that's issued. It's really not litigated like that. John Edwards was so egregious and into the millions of dollars. That's why it was litigated like that, because his was really bad. And in numerous states, and he was like defrauding a 96-year-old widow, but that's a whole other part. But Hillary Clinton, it would have been very easy to say, wow, Hillary Clinton, you wiped your server clean. You had classified information. That actually is a felony. And they could have substantiated that. Here's the existence of a felony. We're going to take this. And the amount by which she had done this, technically, I think it was greater than Trump's for sure. But that was more than a misdemeanor. They could have elevated that and they could have tried her on the same exact thing in New York, but they could have actually done it on evidence and they didn't do it. Very interesting, isn't it? But, you know, even before Hill Dog, you had Bill in Arkansas. You remember when Bill paid off Paula Jones? Do we have this audio real quick? And then I know we got to get going. Can I just play this real fast? Audio soundbite 17 flashback. Here's Paula Jones showing off the check Bill Clinton paid her to shut up. Watch this. Flashback. Here's Paula Jones.
Show them the check.
Here's the check.
It's your check.
There's
well, it's
the
not
check.
Going to be saying anything. Her attorneys are here today. So kind of officially, I think what we...
Y'all remember that, don't you? That was far greater. And that's while Bill Clinton was campaigning. So see, that's when it was just a sex scandal to Democrats, though. That's when it was just a sex scandal. They used to think like that, but now all of a sudden they don't. Very interesting, right? It's political lawfare. But it's an unprecedented theory. And they try... I mean, it's wild how this played out. And it's not going to stop there. This was the weakest case against him. Where do you think it'll go from here? Florida-based company, American Born and Bred, and it's a great American success story. George Kellgren was like, buy Sweden, and he came to the U.S. of A., where freedom lives, and he created a gun company. God bless America. It's Kel-Tec, and they churn out boomsticks, and they're amazing. They're high quality. They're so good, and they're innovative. He's like a mad scientist, but in the best, most American way possible. And so Kel-Tec, they make all kinds of awesome stuff. And one of the things that they make that's shipping now is the Gen 3 version of the Sub 2K. It folds in half. It's a 9mm carbine that folds in half. Ladies, if you got a Louis Vuitton, put it in your Speedy. You got, not even kidding, 9mm carbine that folds in half. You don't even have to detach your favorite optic. It's game-changing innovation and super high performance. And they did a lot of upgrades on the Gen 3. Sub 2K got upgraded action. You got a redesigned operating handle for added comfort. And ambidextrous bolt hold open, a light and 5-pound trigger pull, all providing improved manipulation and translating to improved accuracy. And they're all quality made right here in the U.S. of A. So check out everything Kel-Tec has to offer you at KelTecWeapons.com, KelTecWeapons.com. Follow them on social media. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the hail in Texas was so big Tuesday that they actually created a new description, DVD-sized hail. Wow, it was huge. I thought we were going to have hail damage too because we got just hammered by it. It's been like, it's been raining for I don't know how many days. I'm about to build an ark. I feel like it's almost needed. So they said it was the hail was 5 inches in diameter, and it was the first such warning. It was the first such warning since 2010 for like hail that size in Texas. That's insane. I can't believe this is a headline. People are licking supermarket eggs in hopes of getting food infection and getting compensation. And apparently this is happening all over in Russia. There was this Russian supermarket chain that announced that they would pay 1 million rubles to each person that got food poisoning from their products. And apparently people have been going out licking the eggs at the store. That's so nasty. The hell is wrong? Well, it's Russia. What's wrong with people? I don't know. Girlfriend spiked a boyfriend's sweet tea with antifreeze so she could collect a $30 million inheritance that did not exist because he lied to her about it. Wow. A 48-year-old woman in North Dakota, she may spend the rest of her life in jail because she killed what was her husband now. She poisoned him. She put antifreeze in his drink because she thought he had told her while they were dating that he had this huge inheritance, and he didn't. And she realized it. It only came to light after she killed him. Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't know. That's in Amsterdam, someone fell into a jet plane engine. How do you fall into, isn't it sideways? Like the, how do you fall into it? Like, do you fall sideways? Like, how does that work? They said that they fell into a jet engine at an Amsterdam airport, and the crew and passengers that were on the plane were removed safely, and then they're investigating into exactly what happened. That's kind of wild. Oh, gosh. Whenever stuff like this happens, this is when they choose to drop the other stuff, right? Because they know you're watching what's happening over here, and they're going to drop stuff over here. That's how it always works. And today's, and it being a Friday, yeah, no exception. I want you to listen. This is a soundbite that isn't getting a lot of play right now. It's from Anthony Blinken. And so Anthony Blinken was, he's giving a press conference because something came out about what Ukraine is being allowed to do with U.S. weapons. And it's troubling because what could this be used to constitute? You have to think about this. So apparently, we are allowing Ukraine to use U.S. weapons against Russia and on Russian soil. Listen to this audio soundbite because Blinken confirms it.
With regard to the use of U.S. arms by Ukraine and Russia, I said this the other day. The hallmark of our engagement, our support for Ukraine over these more than 2 years, has been to adapt and adjust as necessary to meet what's actually going on the battlefield, to make sure that Ukraine has what it needs, when it needs it, to do that deliberately and effectively. And that's exactly what we're doing in response to what we've now seen in and around the Kharkiv region. Over the past few weeks, Ukraine came to us and asked for the authorization to use weapons that we're providing to defend against this aggression, including against Russian forces that are massing on the Russian side of the border and then attacking into Ukraine. That went right to the president. And as you've heard, he's approved the use of our weapons for that purpose.
Politico first broke this story. They said in the last few days, the U.S. Now, this is a change of course. It's a big reversal. They said that the United States made the decision to allow Ukraine, quote unquote, flexibility to defend itself from attacks on the border near Kharkiv. And that's now confirmed by Antony Blinken. They said that Ukraine can now use American-provided weapons like rockets and rocket launchers to shoot down Russian missiles heading towards Kharkiv. Now, why is this a shift? There is an exclusion, by the way. The official said Ukraine cannot use those weapons to hit civilian infrastructure or launch long-range missiles like the Army tactical missile system to hit military targets deep inside Russia. I'm sure that that's all going to be followed, I'm sure. Now, it's a big reversal and important because the administration previously opposed this because they said it would escalate the war. And they claimed that it would directly involve the U.S. in the fight. Now they've done a complete 180. The NSC, the National Security Council, was asked why the reversal. They have not responded. Antony Blinken's was the first response here. He supported the lift of restrictions on this from the beginning. He was the first one to hint, and this was a piece. They first started reporting this a couple of days ago because they said that Blinken's language was signaling an openness to allowing Ukraine to hit Russia with U.S. weaponry. Now, even they said that that NSC's John Kirby, when had previously in discussing it, when he touched on it in other press conferences, he didn't rule out a change. They noticed they started very subtly shifting on this messaging. Now, other U.S. allies like the U.K. and France said Ukraine would have the right to attack inside Russia using Western weapons. They've maintained that Ukraine should be able to have the right to do this. But it is a huge shift. And they're attributing worsening conditions for Ukraine on the battlefield as like Russian advances, and they have a better position in Kharkiv now, that apparently is what led Biden and the administration to do a 180 on this. So now the question is Russia going to claim that this constitutes direct U.S. involvement? Does it constitute direct U.S. involvement? I mean, it's more than just arms. It's missiles and rocket launchers. Now, they're saying it can only be used to hit their missiles and rocket launchers, and they can't do, you know, deep attacks inside. But do you believe that? Right? I mean, that gets into that's like a quasi-fungibility argument, right? I don't know. But that story came out. They waited for all this to happen to officially confirm that. Interesting, is it not? Don't you find that interesting? They waited till all that came out before they started, before they confirmed it. So that's one of the big stories that we're watching. The other big story, and this squeaked out today. Did you hear about this? Half of U.S. job gains may be from illegal immigration. Now, one of the things with the last jobs report that we noticed, Kane, where were the biggest job gains that they measured?
In government.
In government. They've expanded government so much, which means more government spending, which they're going to claim means they need more taxes. They've expanded government so much that the biggest job gains are not from the private sector. It's literally from the government. And now comes the other shoe. Half of U.S. jobs, reports Reuters, may be from illegal immigration. Half of these job gains. Government jobs and illegal immigration. They noted that there were several economists and analysts that put together this study. And it's based on what they said is detailed data from Customs and Border, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration. And they were also looking at different measures with the labor market. And they're saying the labor market is not as strong as the Biden administration's making it out to be. And here's why. They said, here's the other thing. They're saying that right now, the reason that they argue that half of U.S. job gains may be from illegal immigrants is because they think that's an actual under, that's they're underreporting that. The suggestion is that it may be way more than half. That's why the may is there. The may is there not because they think that that's a stretch to say. It's because they think it's way far greater than that. Now, how did the analysts define what was an illegal immigrant and what wasn't? Because, you know, the government always has to say undocumented immigrant. If you literally entered illegally and you're not a refugee and all of that, or an official U.S. asylee, et cetera, then that's how they're counting it. Oh, my gosh. And so they said that this has been crazy. So they're trying to spin these numbers to you to give you a false sense of contentment, to make you think that the administration is doing better than it is with regards to jobs when they're all coming from the government and now illegal immigration. That's wild. That squeaked in today. They were hoping that you wouldn't notice this stuff. They thought maybe by dropping it on a Friday, the day after this verdict, that it would go by unnoticed from you. You're too smart for that, though.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.